We have two readings today. Hello. The first reading is taken from Ezekiel chapter 37, which is on page 868 of the Blue Bibles. And hopefully the screen. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me to and fro among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Come, breath, from the four winds, and breathe into these slain, that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and I have done it, declares the Lord." Come on. Come on. The second reading is taken from Acts chapter 9, which is on page 1102 of the Blue Bibles. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we can come into your presence today. And we thank you that you've got words to speak to us and that your words are words of life. And Lord, I just pray that you would speak now. That you would open our ears to hear from you. And that you would just work in each one of us what you want to be doing this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Right, so today the talk is about the role of prophecy in and spiritual warfare. We've been talking about spiritual warfare. And the other title that I wanted to give it is, who am I listening to and what am I looking at? Because that's what I felt God's been saying to me as I've been thinking a little bit about this. So, So, when we hear the word prophecy, we can immediately start thinking about bearded guys who do weird things, like a little bit like the Ezekiel passage that we were looking at, and who say strange things, and who wear weird clothes, and all of those kind of things. So prophecy can be a thing that we think, whoa, it's a little bit weird, and sometimes it can be a thing that we think, well, that's just for like really super spiritual people who might be able to get these visions from God and speak into situations. But one of the things I really want to talk about today is that prophecy is for everybody. And it's for normal people. As normal as we get. It's not just something mysterious and mystical. So, in the Old Testament, this is a very speedy trip through the Old Testament about prophecy, but in the Old Testament, there were selected prophets. In the Old Testament, people didn't have the Holy Spirit living inside of them like we can do now. So there were selected prophets, and God would choose people and he would reveal his word to people, and those people were to speak that word. They were like God's mouthpiece. They were to speak that word into society, into people's lives, into the nations where they were. And that was how God communicated. And they were these words from God could be promises, they could be challenges, they could be direction for the way that people should go. They could be about the future and what was going to be happening. And they could be affirmation, lots of different ways that the prophets would speak into people's lives. And they tended to not just speak into the lives of individuals, but they also spoke to the nation. They would bring God's word to the nation. Often uncomfortable. People didn't like it sometimes because God was saying things that they didn't want to hear, like your city's about to be attacked, taken over, you're going into exile. There were things that people really didn't want to hear, and they weren't always very kind to those prophets. They got treated pretty badly, and yeah, it wasn't a comfortable life being a prophet. But the prophets would say, God's word was burning within me. I just had to speak it. And God really, really used his prophets. In the New Testament, when the Holy Spirit is poured out on God's people at Pentecost, then there's the promise of the gift of prophecy. And you can see this is a promise that was made earlier in Isaiah, but it's in Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my people on all pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. So there's a shift, and it's everybody, young men, old men, women, all kinds of people, that God was going to pour out his spirit so that people could prophesy. And in Corinthians, Paul tells us that prophecy is to be used for strengthening, encouraging, and comforting people, and also for edifying or building up the church. So it's going to be commonly used, and it's going to be really useful for all of these different kind of things. He tells them, the Corinthians, that they should eagerly desire the gift of prophecy because it's going to be so useful for building up the church. So I wonder, are we eagerly desiring the gift of prophecy? Because we can build each other up and encourage each other and strengthen each other and help each other through that. And also in Timothy, we see that prophecy can be part of identifying and imparting spiritual gifts to people. We can encourage each other. We can prophesy over each other, bring God's word about what our giftings are. And we've seen that happening even in our congregation. And sometimes prophecy will give direction for ministry. In Acts, it tells us about how the Holy Spirit spoke a word to them. The Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. So leading, guiding, directing. And then sometimes warning. The prophets came to Paul and said, you do know if you go to Jerusalem, you're going to be tied up and you're going to be imprisoned and everything. And at that point, Paul knew that's still what God calling me to do, and I'm going to go and do it. But there was a warning, and sometimes God can challenge or warn through prophecy. There is a particular gift of prophecy, and we, I think, all know people who seem to hear from God really, really clearly and really specifically. But I think it's kind of like the gift of evangelism, where there is a specific gift of evangelism, but God wants all of us to be sharing good news. And I think prophecy is the same thing. There is a gift of prophecy, and there's certain people who are really tuned in to God. But I think God wants all of us to be listening to him. And on the Living Free course, which we've done here before, one of the things that they really emphasize is that God wants everyone to be able to hear from him. And there's this verse from John chapter 10. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. Just as a part of our relationship with God, that we learn to listen to his voice and we learn to hear from him. So, yeah, and I think in its simplest form, then, prophecy is seeing what God sees, hearing what he's saying, and speaking his truth into people or circumstances. And he wants us to listen, he wants us to hear from him, because he's given us this amazing privilege of being a part of his kingdom work. And it is amazing that he chooses us. And we know when we look around, like, oh my goodness, why did he choose us? But he did. And because we're not doing it in our strength, and we need him and we need his words. And that's why we need to be listening and ready to speak out. So I'm going to go to the passage we looked at now from Acts, about Ananias. We all know about Saul, Paul. I wanted to read the first bit of the story so we remember. This is when Saul, before he became Paul, we talked about this the other week, so I won't spend much time on it, but he was basically going around feeling like these Christians were blasphemous and terrible people, and what he needed to do to serve God was to get rid of them, put them in prison, get them killed, get them out of the way, that they were really bad people and they were bringing this blasphemy. And so then he meets with Jesus on the road to Damascus, and we all know about Paul, but do we all know about Ananias, there was a disciple named Ananias. And I think there's a few things we can learn about prophecy from this. Ananias was nobody very special. In fact, all we hear about him is this. He was a disciple. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. He wasn't particularly famous, well-known. In fact, he's not mentioned again in Scripture, apart from when Paul tells the story of what happened to him at his conversion later on in Acts. So, there are disciples in Reading. That's us. All right? We are followers of Jesus and pupils of Jesus in the same way that Ananias was a disciple who lived in Damascus. So Ananias was nobody very special. And Ananias was listening to God. It says, the Lord called to him in a vision, Ananias. Sometimes God uses visions. I don't know whether anybody here has had an actual vision. Has anybody here had an actual vision? I've never had an actual vision. I don't think God speaks through actual visions very often, but when he does, it's a very definitely a word that needs to be listened to. But God speaks to us in different ways. It doesn't have to be like an actual vision like that, but that's how God spoke to Ananias, because this was a word that really, really needed to be passed on. So, and I was thinking, well, was Ananias just like going about his everyday life, walking down the street? Suddenly there was a vision that he was like, whoa. But I think that probably Ananias was taking time in God's presence and taking time to pray, and that's when he had the vision. And so he was listening to God. And I want to challenge us, are we listening to God? Are we expecting to hear from God? Are we taking time to be in God's presence so that we actually have time to listen to God in the midst of all of our business? So Ananias listened to God. And then Ananias responded to God's call. He says, yes, Lord. He responds when God calls to him. And God's word to Ananias again was very specific. He even told him the address. I love that. Go to this address and you'll find this man there who's waiting for you. And so again, sometimes God's words are very specific. Sometimes they're not so specific. But unsurprisingly, in this situation, Ananias felt the need to check out with God that God had actually got this right. Like, do you not realize that this guy, this is the one who's been going around, he's come here to arrest us? That's all? Are you sure about this, God? So he responds to God. He wants to check it out, but that's okay. God doesn't say, ye of little faith, why did you check this out? He just carries on speaking to him about it. Ananias obeyed. God shared something of his heart and his purposes with Ananias. He didn't need to do that. He could have just said to him, I just said to you, go and pray for him and then you'll see. But he reveals more to him because God loves to share with us. He wants us to be working with him and he loves to share with us. So he revealed something of his purposes. And it was crazy. This Saul who'd been going around killing these Christians, God had chosen him and he was going to be God's instrument and he was going to spread the good news of the gospel amongst the Gentiles and the Jews. This is not a word that Ananias would have made up himself. You know, sometimes we feel like maybe God was saying that to me, or maybe it was just me, my own thoughts. This was not the kind of thought that Ananias would have had himself. He was really sure that this was coming from God, and it was kind of shocking. And so, yeah. And then God says, go. But the Lord said to Ananias, go. And he tells him, this man is my instrument and all the rest of it. And I was just, as I was reading it, I was thinking, I wonder if God's saying to any of us here, go, go. And we might have brought the reasons, the excuses. Was it really God? Was it just me? Is this really God speaking to me? Is this really a thing that God wants me to do? Or maybe one of my favourites, could God not find somebody better than me to go and do this in this situation? But if God's saying to us, go, then we know that he wants to use us. And when Ananias went to pray for Saul, he would have had no idea what impact that was going to have. Can you imagine the impact that going and being obedient to God had on the whole of God's kingdom coming, on the gospel being spread? He was going to go and pray for the guy who was about to, in the end, travel on missionary journeys, establish loads of churches, spread the gospel, and write most of the New Testament. But he didn't know that at the time. All he knew, God calling me to do this, that is scary. I don't want to do this. But he obeyed. He took courage. He wanted to do what God wanted him to do. More than he was scared, he wanted to go and do what God wanted him to do. And he went and he did it. And then it was up to God then to bring the results, and amazing results that they were too. So, yeah. And what I, and the last thing is that Ananias trusted God. It says he went to the house and entered it, placing his hands on Saul. Do you see what he says to him? Brother Saul. Already, even though he's still scared, already, even though he doesn't know if Saul might still be this murderous guy, maybe it's a trick, maybe this didn't happen at all, maybe he's still planning on imprisoning all of the Christians, and here's Ananias going, here, I'm one. But he calls him already Brother Saul. He accepts God's word that Saul has been touched by God and that he now belongs to the family of God. And Saul, who was actually there in a room, blind, not having eaten, not knowing what was going on, having had his world turned upside down because he realized he'd been persecuting this Jesus, who actually is God, desperately needed that affirmation at that moment of being accepted and loved. Right, so why is prophecy important for spiritual battle? We're supposed to be talking about spiritual battle. I would like you to, seeing as we're a small select group this morning, talk to somebody near to you. What do you think? Why is prophecy, or hearing God's word, or speaking out God's word, why is it important for spiritual battle, in our battle that we're a part of? If you really don't want to, you don't have to talk to anyone. Think your own thoughts. But preferably talk to someone near you, or go and find somebody to talk to. 5 minutes. No, 3 minutes. Right. Sorry, I know you probably have more to say, but we need to carry on, or we're going to run out of time. Sorry. It was my kind of 3 minutes. So it was as long as I felt like we should need, really. Anybody got any feedback? Why is prophecy important in spiritual battle? We'll begin here. Any feedback?
Because it's God's word, so it's what's going to happen anyway. So it just lets you walk into it with your head held high and an air of confidence, because you know what the outcome is anyway, because God's already there.
Great. So God's word, it gives us confidence that this is the way. So it gives us authority that we're stepping out in God's word and things that are true, and speaking into situations. Fantastic. Anybody else got anything? Tony?
Well, if we're in a battle, listen to the head of the army.
Right, so we're in a spiritual battle. We need to listen to the head of the army. If we're not listening for orders and insights and commands and strategies, then how are we going to work together as an army? So we need to listen. And I think it's true that sometimes God gives us insights into how the enemy is at work. And I've seen that happen, that Paul quite often gets these kind of insights because he's a very strategic thinker. And I'm not a very strategic thinker, so I need him to say to me, I think that the enemy's getting in with, it can be miscommunication, it can be lack of unity, it can be control, whatever it is, different kinds of ways that Paul says, I really feel like the enemy's trying to get in here. And when you know what's happening, if God reveals that to you, then you can pray into that and you can work kind of for the opposite of that. So if it's miscommunication, you can make sure that you're communicating extra, extra well with people. And if it's control, you can make sure that you're stepping back and letting other people be involved and not feeling like it's your thing that you have to hold on to. Or whatever it is, strategies in our battle through prophetic words. Thank you, Tony. Anything else? Jerry, did you have a good one?
But it gives us an image beyond what we might be able to physically see at that moment.
I'd written that one down as well. So that you remember a couple of weeks ago, Paul was speaking and he spoke about Elisha and Elisha's servant. And so often we just see the physical reality and the world around us, but there's a spiritual reality. And when we listen to God's word, then it helps us to see a bigger reality of what's going on in spiritual realms. And we can speak into that and we can, like Rebecca said again, it gives us that confidence to act on that and to step into that in a different kind of way. Anything else? Steve?
Basically, I'm not dealing with the dead God. It's just in a piece of written material. Rashi is a living God.
Come on.
And then, therefore, basically, that's how he communicates now. And so that's why we should be listening. So it's part of all the other.
So as we listen, as we speak out these words, we're showing people that we have a God who's alive and at work. That's good. Alice?
God encouraging, strengthening people,
fighting
battles.
Come on.
And that was one of the things I thought about as well, especially our identity. As God speaks his truth into our lives, we remember who we are in Christ, and he can speak to us about our identity. And again, in the Living Free stuff, it talks a lot about who God created us to be, and that as God speaks those truths into our lives about who he created us to be, then we can step out into that, and it encourages us. And it strengthens us. And so, when we're just living out our everyday lives as who God has created us to be, it makes a difference in bringing the kingdom, and it makes a difference in the spiritual battle. So, that's great. You said lots of the things I already had put here. A couple of other things, sometimes like the passage in Ezekiel, God calls us to speak prophetically into a situation rather than just a word for somebody, and that can change the spiritual atmosphere. 24/7 prayer used to have a t-shirt. I don't know whether any of you saw it, and on the front it says "You see bones," and on the back it says "I see an army." And it's that sense of perspective, God's perspective, spiritual perspective on things that God wants to share with us. Our world needs a prophetic ministry. Our world needs a prophetic ministry. It needs us as the church to be speaking into the world and showing people what God is like, and that is prophetic, and our world needs that. A couple of things I thought I must say about prophecy. We need to bring prophetic words in humility, even though it gives us confidence. We need to come saying, we're human, we make mistakes. We don't want to bring prophetic words saying, this is the word of the Lord, you must do it now, or whatever we're going to say. We need to bring it in humility. I think that God might be saying this, and maybe you could think about it and pray about it. Some people do have manipulated prophecy, and if they say, oh, well, if God's saying this, then you have to do it kind of thing. And that is not the way that prophetic words come. The Bible talks about testing the words that are brought to us. And often we'll know in our spirit if our spirit says, yes, that's right, that's definitely a word for me. So we need to be wise. We need to be ready to be wrong, but not scared of being wrong. So we offer prophetic words to each other. And our prophetic words are brought with love. Why do we share God's words with each other? Because we love each other. We want to build each other up. We want to edify each other. We want each other to hear what God's got to say to us. And yes, a warning. Sometimes seeing people and situations through God's eyes will hurt. Sometimes it will lead us to lament. Sometimes it will lead us to grieve when we share glimpses as well of God's heart, which is seeing our world so far away from what he created it to be and seeing people being damaged by sin and by our fallenness and by disobedience and all the other things. An injustice. The prophet spoke a lot about injustice. And sometimes it's not easy. We're not saying prophecy is going to be easy all the time. And sometimes it builds up and encourages us, and we're like, yes, God gave me this word and I spoke it to someone and they responded and it's just amazing to see God at work. And sometimes it'll mean, whoa, I'm brokenhearted for this world around because I'm seeing things through God's eyes and it's sad. So, what time is it? Oh my goodness, 20 to 12. I wanted people to give us a couple of examples of times when God might have spoken a word to them that made a difference. But I wanted to ask Catherine first. Catherine, how did you learn to listen to God?
That's me. So for me, I was quite nervous initially of speaking out stuff. And I started by sort of just trying to ask God for a Bible verse for somebody because I thought that was safe. and then after I felt a sense that there was more, that God wanted to talk more. So I started consciously trying to practice it. So I read quite a lot of books because that's my nature to try and find things out that way. And then I think for me, one of the big things was doing the Living Free and then Freedom Prayer, because when you're doing a Freedom Prayer point for someone, you're listening for their spiritual DNA with somebody. It really, you know, it's a training ground to start to really think more and more about what God might be saying. And I'd found that he started giving me words and pictures more. And then I just found that the more I did it, the more it came. It was almost like, you know, I had to take the step, and it was really nerve-wracking sometimes to sort of say something. But when you started to see people react to things, you think, oh, okay, maybe, you know, I can do this. Do you want me to give an example of something that was recent? So, I mean, initially it would be like one word or a little bit of something, and sometimes it'd be something you just didn't understand, and that's been a big one with me. I'll say something and I'm not sure if it's going to make sense. And then you see it does. But a couple of months ago, we went to, Chris, you reminded me of this because I was asking for examples, to Oxford Burn. And I was sat there, and obviously, you know, the space, it was full of worship. But I found myself drawn, like my eyes drawn to this one particular person. And as I was sort of listening for things that God was saying, I thought, oh, I think God might be giving me something for this particular lady, and I didn't know who she was. And I sort of ummed and ahed about whether to sort of speak to her, because I had no idea who she was. And in the end, I went over and gave her some paper and said, I think this might be for you, that God might be giving this for you. And she sort of went, oh, and looked at it. And then I said, well, can I pray for you? So I ended up praying with her, and it was really interesting because Christy came along halfway through it. Now, I didn't know this lady at all, and I was just praying what I felt God was saying. And afterwards, Christy said, but that was exactly what was going on. So I think sometimes God really uses us when we don't know somebody, and we have to be brave, because if we know it in our own mind, then actually it's quite difficult. But when you haven't got a clue about this person, whether it's right, I know for myself, if someone doesn't know me and they give me a prophetic word, it's so powerful. So that was my example.
I asked Gabby if he would share something, and he was thinking about it. So I'm just checking whether he's thought about it. Can you share something?
I can share something, yeah. I can share something. And I don't think I have an option now, do I? But... it's more of a you know, sharing a prophetic word. It was something that happened to me recently, and I you know, it's one of those things that you think, actually, you know, this has to be coming from God, because, you know, it's coincidence, is, you know, it's too much coincidence, basically. And So because of the situation in Venezuela and everything else, you know, I was getting very stressed about the whole thing. At one point I said, I don't want to even check the news anymore because, you know, nothing is changing, getting frustrated, stressed about the whole thing, couldn't sleep. And then I think it was on a Saturday night, so had a bit of a, so just before I went to bed, I thought, check the news, right? So checking social media, and all I could see was walls of army people, right, in front of the opposition, basically. So people that are protesting out in the streets. And all I could see was just this continuous image everywhere around the country of a wall of army people, you know. And all I could think was, how great would it be if we could just, you know, just walk through it, right? And they will join us, and you know. And then the next day I come here, and it was an all-age service, and it was all about this wall, right, that we had here. And yeah, they're still there, right? So you know, I struggle with all-age services because of the kids. But that day, I shared this with blank moment right now, the people that we're leading. Sorry, yes, yeah, the Wilmots, and it was incredible because for me it was, you know, I nearly lost it that day because everything that we were doing, right, was just related to that dream I was having the night before. So for me, that was kind of God telling me, it will happen, and you know, don't despair, don't get frustrated. It will happen in my own time, right? So don't try and do things by yourself. And that was really relevant for me. And you know, I felt it was just God talking to me that day. And even though it was an all-age service, I found it was one of the most powerful ones I've been to. Yeah.
Thank you, Gabby. Thank you for sharing that. Jill.
Thank you. Well, I'm also going to talk about the Freedom Prayer appointments, because that's a way that any of us, and Jackie can tell you how, Catherine can tell you how, can have one of these if you haven't already, or even if you've had one. Because listening to God for me has been a very long a long path, really. But there was a real turning point on it when I had my first Freedom Prayer appointment. And it was about this DNA. Who has God designed Jill to be? And I went into it with not a lot of very little self-confidence and very little belief in myself. And what I heard was that the things that spoke to my heart were God's DNA for me. And I came out of it thinking, okay, so I'm quiet because God has created me to be a listener. It's not a fault. And I want to support people, so I can do that through listening. And so it was a real turning point for me to stop criticizing these things that God had placed in me as gifts. And so now I'm at my most comfortable listening one-to-one with people in spiritual direction and as a prayer guide. And that's been a long path, and one of in my own self being happy to sit quietly in a corner and not be noticed, but actually trusting God to just step into what He's inviting me to do, and trusting Him that He will speak. And if He doesn't speak, because it's not, you know, put your coin in the slot and out comes the word, that there may be a purpose in that. So I had one time when I was in a prayer guiding appointment and I was getting nothing. And for me, thank you, God, that is unusual. And I said to God, what was going on? You weren't doing what you normally do for me. And He seemed to say, this person didn't need words and your words wouldn't have helped in their situation. So I thought, well, okay, Lord, fine. If He chooses not to speak, then who am I to say you're wrong? So please step out. Please have a Freedom Prayer appointment if you haven't had one.
Thank you, Jill. Isn't it great that we can learn from each other? And that was, like, all of these different things that come out are really encouraging. Right. Have you got a story for us?
So mine was just quite like just a normal day, and the Lord just kind of interrupted it a little bit. I was going to see a friend, as you do. And before I went, I just kind of sensed the Lord speaking to me about that friend. And he kind of took me through the last few interactions I'd had with them. And he was like, something's not quite right. And I was like, okay, sure. So I went to see her, and we were sat chatting, and I knew something wasn't quite right, but I didn't know what I needed to do. And the Lord just put two questions in my head, and he said, you need to ask her these two questions. And they were very normal questions, kind of like a bit like, how are you? But two very specific questions. And so I just kind of interrupted the conversation. I was like, I just feel like I need to ask you these two questions. And I did. And as I did, like, her whole face and posture and everything just completely changed. And I was like, shoot, there it is. And she started to get emotional. And one of the questions in particular, in fact, both of them, but one in particular had really spoken into a situation that she was really struggling with and hadn't told anyone about. And so by the Lord getting me to ask her this question, it meant like that could come out into the open, and she could know that he saw, and he could start to deal with some of the stuff that she was struggling with. And we could kind of pray it through. And then, to be honest, the situation didn't change massively, but I think it lost some of the power that it had held, because the Lord was like, we need to talk about this. Yeah, that's me.
Thanks. I'm sure lots of us have got stories, and maybe afterwards and at other points we can share those stories with each other, because it is so encouraging to hear how God speaks and what difference that makes in people's lives around us. I wanted to call this, who are we listening to and what are we looking at? Because when I was walking up to Greyfriars on Tuesday, I was walking up Caversham Road, and I was thinking about this talk. I was thinking, am I going to get everything done that I need to do? And am I going to this? And am I going to that? And I felt like God stopped me and said, who are you listening to and what are you looking at? And I was thinking, I'm looking at me. Inwards, downwards, and I'm listening to my thoughts at the moment. And he said, do you want to invite me to speak? And do you want to look around you? Look at these people. Do you want to ask me how you can pray for these people on this street? Look at this town. Do you want to ask me how you can pray for this town? And I just felt really challenged. And not that I'm not saying that we shouldn't sometimes think about ourselves and think about what we need to do and all the rest of that stuff. Of course, we do need to think about those things sometimes, and sometimes that's really important. But I just felt challenged. Am I in the habit of saying, Lord, what have you got to say? Listening to God, listening to Holy Spirit, speaking into that situation? Or am I just thinking my thoughts and emotions and all the rest of it? And what am I looking at? And I went to a leadership conference. Paul and I went to the leadership conference in London at the Albert Hall a few weeks ago. And Nicky Gumbel was speaking, and he said, we're a downward-looking generation. He said, if you look in the streets, everybody's looking at their phone. And we walk around like this with our heads down. And what are we looking at? And what are we thinking about? And I felt like God saying, lift up your head, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And let's listen to him. So that's the challenge. Amen.